What a beautiful Monday, opening day of AirVenture 2023. Can you believe it? It is a little bit, I don't want to call it hazy, but it's actually smoke. A little Canadian smoke rolling in because they want to be part of the show too. So Canada's here in a big way, sharing their smoke with us. But you know what? It's still VFR. It's still airplanes are arriving, and it's going to be a fantastic week. And we are at Vintage. We always start on the fly every year at Vintage because there's always so much to talk about, things happening in the Vintage community throughout the year that we love to talk about at the very beginning of AirVenture. So Ray Johnson is a director with the Vintage Aircraft Association, and Susan Dusenberry is the president. They're both joining me today. Hi, how's it going?
Hi, great. How are you?
Good, good. Well, We are enjoying a little bit of breeze, which is what we need here under the awning today. Now, exciting things. This, I'm sure you probably agree, we're calling this the front-loaded AirVenture. In other words, Tuesday, arrivals. Wednesday, way more arrivals. By Thursday, your parking was almost full.
Correct. Well, that's exactly right. And today we've closed antique airplane parking simply because there's not a spot left in antique airplane parking. We have sent Kathy McGurin, who is one of our parking vice chairmen, came down and said that they have sent over 80 airplanes. That was last night to Southern GAC parking, which we call the South 40, because we were out of room in Vintage. We're 73% over the norm for Sunday night.
That's amazing. 73%
higher.
That's closer to 100 than it is to 50.
Let's push it 100. That's right.
Yeah. Wow. So people are here and people are ready for a fantastic AirVenture. And what you've got some big things happening in Vintage, and I always like to open the show by talking about that. So you've got plans. You've got exciting things. Tell us all about that.
We have. This morning we broke ground for a new building. It's our youth education building. It'll be a multi-purpose building, but basically during the day, during AirVenture every year, it will be strictly a youth building. And we started this, as I say, when I became president, 7 years ago or something like that, I wrote a five-year plan. And as I say, it's a moving target. And, you know, it's a living document. It changes. But basically, in that plan was a youth building. And so that has come to fruition. The board voted to go ahead with that this past spring. We had the groundbreaking this morning, and they will start pouring cement in about 2 weeks out there.
Wow. So right after AirVenture's done.
Well, they need to do that because of the severe cold weather here. They need to get that cement poured, get the building up, get it closed in, and then the workers in the worst of the weather this winter can still work inside the building.
Oh, different kind of planning here.
It's
than
a different
in some
kind of planning
of
here.
Country,
and yeah. I'll tell you what, I found out with it, like I said, this severe weather up here, the cost of cement is just sky high.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's a different ball game up here than it is in North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Oh, and that brings us to North Carolina. That's where you're from, Susan.
Exactly. Walnut Cove, North Carolina, which is in the foothills. It Mount Airy, Andy Griffith Show, if y'all remember that. It was called Mayberry. If I take off from my airport, fly straight out for 8 minutes and land in Mayberry.
Ray, I know that you wanted to bring up a couple of things in this first segment about the organization.
Well, first of all, we're broadcasting from the Rose Memorial Plaza right here in front of the Red Barn, the Vintage Red Barn. And we got so much going on here. We do a program called Vintage in Review every day, starting at 10:45. We sing the Ladies for Liberty, and we have quite a lineup. We run old engines and that kind of thing. And but we have a special guest with us, and we should bring her in right now.
I think what we'll start out with is before we talk to Aubrey, we'll talk to Susan a little bit about her background.
Okay.
Now, Susan, you started out. Aubrey here is 21 years old. You started out in aviation even younger than that.
I did.
And you guys, we discovered during the pre-show interview stuff that you guys have a lot of common things in common. And So tell us a little bit about when you were a young girl getting into aviation. What happened with
you? Okay, well, I started when I was 15, course solo when I was 16. A family friend on an airplane and offered the airplane to my brother and I for flying lessons. And my brother was not interested, but of course it's obvious that I was. So I was lucky enough to get my private license when I was a senior in high school. And then I went to Winthrop College in Rock Hill, South Carolina, went out to the airport, asked for a job in the shop. And they gave me a job part-time repairing airplanes, H.A. Springer. And I used that money to pay for my commercial flight instructor, instrument, multi-engine, that sort of thing, which I was a flight instructor when I was 18.
Now, somebody did a restoration when you were young, maybe 18 or 19 years old, and wanted you to get some time.
That's correct. Clipwing Cub. It had an Continental O 200 engine in it.
That's a big motor for a little Cub.
Oh, it was nice. H.A. Springer installed that O 200 engine, and when the guy came that owned it to pay Springer for it, we all called him Springer, he said, asked Springer how much he owed him, and he said, just leave the airplane here for Susan for 2 months and let her fly it, and we'll call it even. And so I had access to that clip wing for 2 months.
And now that segues us into Aubrey Clark's story. And Aubrey, hi, how are you?
Living the dream.
Living the dream, that's right. So you just heard Susan's story. From what I understand, yours is kind of similar.
It's very similar. So, of course, I didn't start flying until I was 18, but I believe I had the bug around the same time Susan did. I just kind of thought I was too poor to go get my license.
Well, and so what happened for you?
One day I took a helicopter tour and, you know, good grief, it blew off my socks. Oh, my gosh, I was amazed. And I didn't know a single pilot in this entire world. And I started researching, and everybody talked about these 141 schools. And so I started researching the 141 schools and applying. And when I was a senior in high school, those were really the only schools I even applied to, or ones that had, you know, flight programs. And because I had no aspirations to go and get an education that I would not use actively in the real world. And I got accepted to Embry-Riddle, and they gave me a huge scholarship. And then I started doing the math and realized, oh, wow, I can't pay for the rest of this. And that was disheartening.
Yeah.
But I wanted to find a way to do it. And everybody talked about independent instructors on those pilot forums, you know, the Part 61 style of learning, and a lot less publicized. And it was a lot more accessible to someone with my background. And my first flight instructor, he was like about the only person who was flying during COVID in our area and teaching. Ben Shelton, shout out to that guy. He's amazing. He's the reason why I'm here. He is, oh goodness, he's a farmer. He learned to fly when he was around 40s. And I mean, he showed me how to fly on a budget. And shortly after, you know, I got my ratings and I met Dee Bradford, the owner of the J3 that I'm flying here today. And he gave me the opportunity to go and fly a Cub and see the country with it.
And right here at Vintage, you're on display over here, the black and yellow Cub, yellow wings, black fuselage. And Dee basically said, hey, why don't you take this airplane to Oshkosh? Is that how that went?
It was a very much longer story than that. There was a guy I used to work with, Grayson, and he went to the gym with his friend Owen. Owen was Dee's neighbor. Owen knew Dee back in the day and has done work for him for years. And Dee was expressing his frustration not being able to find a pilot to take this beautiful airplane, freshly restored, down to Sun and Fun. And he told Owen, hey man, if you know anybody who's got a license, you send them my way. I need to find a pilot. Good Lord help us. And and he said, you know, I don't feel comfortable flying this tailwheel airplane, but I know somebody who loves it, and she would be highly interested. She would jump at the chance to do this. And he told me about it, and of course I jumped at the chance to do it. And I gave Dee a call, and we met up, and we went flying, and he was excited. Steve, the guy who restored the airplane, was excited. We were all excited. We popped in and flew.
And what airport is this that you're at?
Bradford Field.
In?
In North Carolina, Huntersville, North Carolina.
Huntersville, North Carolina. Okay.
Yes.
This is a cool segue because this opens a door to another question, which we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're gonna review how this actually transpired. So
excellent.
J-Mont G, we're on the fly. We're down at Vintage. We're just south of the Red Barn, in front of the review stands here. And we're going to just take a quick break and be right back. So stick around. J-Mont G, you're listening to EAA Radio.